This is Cyril Reads Pac-Man, and I'm your host, Cyril Lachelle. Today, you're going to listen to me read the first two chapters of Mastering Pac-Man, the 1982 book written by Game Master Ken Houston. He's going to offer patterns, tips, and strategies for doubling, tripling, even quadrupling your score at the game that's sweeping the country. Best of all, we're going to do that to the music of Pac-Man. Well, Pac-Man 2. Trust me, nobody wants to hear that waka 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 sound for 20 minutes straight. Get excited, because you're about to listen to Cyril Reads Pac-Man. The monsters will eat you if you don't watch out. But if you know just when and where to run, you can turn the tables on the terrible foursome and catch yourself a feast of blue meanies for big points. And here's the guide, written by expert game player Ken Houston, that can show you the tricks and techniques to help you keep Pac-Man running and scoring through the board after board of peril and pitfalls. All it takes is some practice with the game-winning patterns, and soon you'll be ducking, dodging, eating, and scoring with the best of them as you learn all about Mastering Pac-Man. Chapter 1. Introduction. When the player puts his first quarter in a Pac-Man machine, he usually doesn't know what to expect. A cute, little electronic tune is played, and the first Pac-Man board soon appears. Four colored monsters start chasing the player who is Pac-Man, a little yellow fellow who looks like he has a smile on his face. The player grabs the red controller knob, or joystick, in front of him, frantically moving Pac-Man to the right, left, up and down. Pac-Man starts eating some of the many white dots on the board, while making a funny, gobbling noise. The ever-present monsters soon catch up and will eat Pac-Man, who slowly folds his wings and disappears as the machine utters a little whine of sympathy. And another Pac-Man appears, and the process repeats itself two more times, three more times if a certain score is reached. When the player is through, he has probably amassed a score of 600, or perhaps 1500 if he was lucky. The game has lasted perhaps a minute, and the player's quarter is expended. Yet chances are the player will put in another quarter, and another, into the machine. He will also note that his ability to maneuver Pac-Man gradually improves and his score mounts. If he's playing with another player, the player with a quicker ability to understand the nature of the game, and with better manual dexterity, will tend to get the higher score. The player's score may increase to perhaps 5,000 or so. He will note the high score posted at the top of the screen and wonder how on earth could any mortal have a score of 56,800, or 106,500, or even 249,300. After you finish this book and invest a few quarters in a Pac-Man machine, you too should be able to achieve these kinds of scores. It's surprisingly easy if a methodical approach is taken. Indeed, the characteristic that attracted me to Pac-Man is that a predetermined plan is far more important for a high score than a high degree of physical coordination. I've spent dozens of hours in front of a Pac-Man machine and played over 15,000 games. At first, I played merely because I enjoyed the game. After a while, however, I became hooked when it became evident that the secret to the game was to develop a predetermined pattern of movement through the Pac-Man schematic. I drew up Pac-Man diagrams and spent weeks experimenting to discover new and efficient patterns. After about a month of play, I discovered three patterns that allowed me to score as much as 182,000 points. But it was not until several weeks later in San Francisco when I encountered, by chance, a 16-year-old high school junior, Tommy L., who had been experimenting with a variety of advanced Pac-Man patterns. One pattern in particular, which Tommy called the 9 key, fascinated me because it allowed the player to move quantum leaps ahead of earlier knowledge. This very pattern had brought Tommy to his high game of 932,000 points. Tommy later introduced me to a friend of his, Raymond, who had achieved a score of 1.4 million on his first man before voluntarily quitting the game mid-game. Raymond, too, spent considerable time with me, introducing me to yet more intricacies of Pac-Man. I worked with Tommy and Raymond and spent many hours refining my own skills. I diagrammed and tested all of the patterns and gleaned those that, with minimal effort, would permit the novice to develop into what would be called a Pac-Master, a player who can consistently score 150,000 points or higher. I tested all of the patterns on many machines to ensure that they were universally accepted. There are currently two different Pac-Man velocities, preset by the technicians on the standard Pac-Man model, which I will refer to as the slow game and the fast game. I recorded my reactions in learning the patterns, little clues I developed to help the learning of the patterns and the overcoming of frustration and making errors, so that I could pass on this knowledge to others. The result in this research are included in this book. I have attempted to put together an easy-to-understand guide to learn Pac-Man, starting with the simple beginning patterns and progressing to more advanced ones, all diagrammed in detail in Pac-Man schematics. Chapters 2 through 11 all refer to the Pac-Man model and are equally applicable to either the slow and fast game. A Pac-Man-type game called New Puck 1 has recently been introduced. This model is currently quite rare and unlikely, I believe, to be encountered by most Pac-Man players. Since the new Puck 1 model has a different board and requires different movement, however, I have included chapters 12 on this model and also another Pac-Man type game called Maze Man. Chapter 13 describes various portable Pac-Man models and contains strategies for playing the particular well-designed and fun-to-play Coleco model. Chapter 14, on improvising and general tips, referred to all models. Because of the recent introduction of a new computer chip in some New Jersey machines, I have included on Chapter 15 patterns to handle that chip, and a section on how the player may develop new patterns should other chips be introduced. The dedicated reader should be able to achieve a score of about 7,000 after only a few games. After studying Chapter 8 and putting in perhaps 10 hours of play, the reader should be able to rack up scores of over 100,000, putting him in a currently select group of Pac-Man experts. After studying chapters 9, 10, and 11, scores of 200,000 points and higher will be possible with more practice. Since this book covers every conceivable situation that will be encountered in Pac-Man, the sky is literally the limits for the player. Chapter 2, How Pac-Man Works. Pac-Man comes in two models, a console and table model. The machines are identical. The machine has a screen which alternates with two views, one of the four monsters and their names and nicknames, another with a simple pattern. The control knob, or joystick, two knobs on a table model, is located in front of the screen. There is also, of course, a slot where the player must insert his quarters to begin the game. The player must then push a button to start. He has the choice of two buttons, one for a single game, the other for a two-player game, in which the player rotates turns. The player is represented by Pac-Man, a friendly-looking yellow circle with a small wedge missing, which roughly resembles a fish jaw. The players maneuver Pac-Man using the joystick, which can move Pac-Man in four directions, right, left, up or down. Pac-Man's jaw faces in the direction that he's moving. The four monsters, each with a different color and each with a different movement characteristic, move around the board. Each monster wears a little robe and has two large eyes, which look in the direction the monster is moving. The eyes actually tip off the player about the direction in which the monsters will turn, but this interval is so short that it can rarely be exploited. movement of the monsters is dependent upon 1. The pre-programmed of the machine, and 2. The movement and location of Pac-Man. The player must thus move Pac-Man in ways that will cause monster movement that can benefit him, as we will explain later. When any of the monsters eats Pac-Man, Pac-Man wilts with dropping his wings, and by accompanying sympathetic audible whine, and disappears from the board. The player has lost. He is usually given 3 Pac-Men, henceforth referred to as men, before the game is finished. In some games, only 2 men are allowed. If the player reaches a score of 10,000, 15,000, or other scores on some machines, he is awarded an additional man. The player never gets more than 4 men, no matter how high his score. The player scores points in several ways. 1. The board is covered with 240 little white dots. Each time Pac-Man encounters eats a dot, the player gets 10 points, and the dot disappears off of the board. Thus, one objective is to eat as many dots as possible. 2. The board also has 4 larger blinking white dots, 1 in each corner of the board. These dots are called energizers. The player is awarded 50 points each time he eats an energizer. The energizer helps the player, because when Pac-Man eats any of the energizers, the monsters all turn dark blue in color in the earlier phases of the game, and are then subject to being eaten by Pac-Man. When in their blue state, the monsters cannot eat Pac-Man. The player is safe. The player gets more points for each consecutive monster he eats after a single encounter or hit. The first blue monster eaten adds 200 points to his score. The second blue monster adds 400, the third, 800, and the fourth blue monster, 1600 points. Thus, if all 4 blue monsters have been eaten after 1 energizer has been hit, the player will add 3,000 points to his score. 200, plus 400, plus 800, plus 1600. Alas, it is not often that the player will be able to eat all 4 blue monsters after hitting an energizer. One key reason for this is that the blue monsters take evasive action, deviously turning corners as they run away from Pac-Man. Some of these moves are predictable, however. After a while, the monsters return to their original color and become aggressive once again. Unfortunately for the player, the blue monsters, once eaten, do not disappear forever. The body of their monster disappears, but its soul, in the form of a pair of monster eyes, returns to the center box for reincarnation after a short waiting period. The recreated monster leaves the center box and resumes his trip around the board. After Pac-Man has eaten all of the dots on the board and has hit the 4 energizers, another board appears, complete with new dots and new energizers. The process then begins anew. As we will see, the board has some different characteristics. After 2 boards, the player is given a small intermission. A little tune is played as the monsters chase Pac-Man across the screen from right to left. Then a giant Pac-Man chases the monsters across the screen in the opposite direction. After a few more boards, another intermission is shown. The monster is chasing Pac-Man across the board, rips his robe, and appears to be embarrassed as he leaves a bit of leg showing. In a subsequent intermission scene, the final one, which is repeated, the monster actually gets his robe taken off and flees Pac-Man, naked, carrying his robe behind him. Yes, these programmers do have a sense of humor. 3. Each progressive board, rather than having a number or a name, is identified by a symbol. In most cases, a type of fruit. Pac-Man players refer to the symbol as the fruit, even though, at times, it is something else. From now on, we too will refer to the symbol in this way. The fruit is shown in the lower right corner of the board. Board 1, for example, is designated by 2 little red cherries. As each board appears, its fruit is shown in the lower right corner, to the left of the previous fruits. During each board, the fruit periodically appears in the center of the screen. The fruit stays lit for a period of time. If the player eats the fruit when it is shown in the center of the board, he is awarded points. The fruit appears twice during the course of each board, and thus may be eaten twice during each round. The value of each fruit increases as the player gets more and more boards. During the first board, the fruit, the two cherries, is worth 100 points to the player when eaten. In later boards, the fruit, when eaten, awards value of 300, 500, 700, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, and finally, a top value of 5,000 points, when the fruit is represented by a blue key. The reader can now understand how scores of hundreds of thousands of points are possible. For each board with a key fruit, the player has the potential of getting 10,000 points, 5,000 twice, for eating the key, 2,600 points for eating the dots and energizers, and theoretically, although not practically, 12,000 points for eating all four blue monsters four times. After each of the four energizers has been hit, 3,000 points times four. Since the value of the fruit increases so dramatically, from 100 to 5,000 points, it is evident that the key to Pac-Man is to amass many boards. I have often wondered if the designer of the game made the final symbol a key for this reason. Summary. Offensively, the player amasses points. 1. By eating as many small dots as possible. 2. By eating as many blue monsters as possible. 3. By eating as many fruits as possible. He tries to eat all of the dots and energizers in order to advance to as many new boards as possible. Defensively, the player must avoid being eaten by four monsters. He does this by taking evasive action to avoid the monsters or by hitting the energizers to render the monsters helpless, making them subjects to being eaten by Pac-Man. To be continued. And now, the Packford Files. Thoughts about chapters 1 and 2. Okay, you got me. We're not actually starting a new season of Cyril Reads. This is nothing more than an April Fool's joke. As much as a sadistic part of me would love to explain the many, many, many pages of maps and paths with arrows, I'm gonna spare your ears the suffering. There are 128 pages in this book. That's on par with any one of those World of Power books we've already gone through. It's absolutely astounding that this guy was able to come up with this much content for a single book about Pac-Man. The real reason that I made this joke recording is to announce that Cyril Reed's Metal Gear will be back for an exciting second half of the season. I know, it's been a while. But that's because I got extremely busy and, you know, it got pushed back a little bit. But so what? So much like Breaking Bad, I decided to split up the season. You know, to make sure the quality remains high. Sure, whatever. Expect the return of Snake next Wednesday on April 10th. Mark your calendars. Thanks again for letting me poison your ears with Cyril Reed's Pac-Man. And before we go, I just want to thank Ken Houston for his contributions. I don't know where he is, but I want Ken to know that I really do appreciate the countless hours of gaming that he put into making this 128-page novel. Ken, if you're listening, you should write that book about that trip to San Francisco. Seriously, it sounded like gripping stuff. Get on that.